Mites and Mites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy.
We're gonna start the podcast. Welcome to Tyson Fights!
I can't do it. I have to save my voice. I'm a professional, everybody. I can't just wreck it all in the top 30 seconds because I love you too much. Welcome to Tyson Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm back, y'all.
Yay.
I'm the master of Hal Jitsu, Hal Lublin. And I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, the Big Boss Dan. I read it right, and I still... The Big Boss Dan, Danielle Radford.
Oh, hello.
And late breaking, he'll be here any second. It could happen now? Nope, not yet. Total Eclipse of the Smark, Michael Eagle.
Oh, that's really good.
Himself.
Say it again for him when he comes in. He'll like that.
I will. We'll have to put a pin in it. Remind me when he comes in to do it, because I will forget.
Put a pin in it.
If you watch SmackDown, you got to see a bunch of the stars of the Netflix series GLOW make a cameo appearance. GLOW coming very, very soon. Friday, which really means on the West Coast, Thursday night at 9, y'all.
Thursday night at 9. Plus, it's also like you have, if you don't have somewhere to go for July 4th, you can watch GLOW instead.
That's right. And later on in this episode, you get to hear our own Danielle Radford chat with two of those stars in honor of the new season starting when?
Friday!
Yeah!
$9.99!
I don't know why I had that.
$9.99!
I just had it in my head. It seemed appropriate. Because that's about what... No, right now, Netflix is $12.95!
Mine hasn't gone up yet.
Are you doing the discs? Be honest.
No.
Be honest.
No. That's what Redbox is for.
Redbox is the one where you it's, this is great if you don't have Redbox. You press a button and then it spits out a portion of a disc or a disc that's so scratched that you would swear the inside of a Redbox machine is just a bunch of cats.
See, here's how you fix a DVD that's scratched. If you got it, you take it.
White out.
No. You take dish soap. And you rub it on it and then get it wet and get it down. And then all of the particles in the dish soap fill up the cracks. And then you can just play the DVD.
But it's partially whatever you're watching and then partially an old Palmolive commercial that just appears. You're telling me.
Edge, how'd you get in Spider-Man?
Oh, my God.
Give him a think.
That is Total Eclipse of the Smark, Mike Eagle.
We just started this episode, so
lovely.
You're perfect.
That's who that is. All right, let's talk about wrestling news. You put us right back on the track where we needed
to
be.
Tell him his thing. Tell him his name.
I did. I said it. Oh, okay.
Total Eclipse of the Smark?
Yeah.
Total Eclipse of the Smark.
This week, WWE aired the second annual United Kingdom Championship Tournament. And one of the biggest announcements was a new branch of the company called NXT UK. This seems like something that's almost long overdue.
I'm super into NXT going to different areas and then... What I'm hoping will happen is that rather than take those people who get over big in those countries and be like, okay, well, now you're going into NXT because your NXT didn't count, I'm hoping we could actually take them and then move them directly onto the main
your
roster.
Your NXT should always count. Wherever you are,
every NXT counts. Like, I definitely don't want it to be where the American one is the one that's the feeder system. And then when you're in these other ones, it doesn't count. And you have to go through this NXT and then go up to the main roster.
It sounds like a community college system where it's a pain in the ass to transfer those credits to, like, a university after you go in.
Oh, so you did 4 years of NXT UK, but that only counts as 1 year
of US. Oh, you did a lot of grappling.
Catch-as-catch-can isn't a major here.
Yeah, you're going to have to go to Florida, buddy.
there is some news on the NXT front. I don't know if you have it here.
Uh-oh.
This is in Title Defense News. Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, a.k.a. Mustache Mountain, beat the Undisputed Era for the NXT tag titles. However, they lost them back to Undisputed Era, like within 48 hours of that, I think. So it was like a house show title change.
I love it.
It was a house show title change.
I don't mind it.
I think they won it back at an NXT taping. Everything, and they had to sort of explain it away.
Everything works in context.
You like that?
Nothing works without context.
Right.
In context, I'm okay with this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair
enough. You know what else doesn't work out of context?
What?
Talking about watching DVDs.
Well, look, you show up here all
first
cool.
First you get it wet.
In your cool
shirt. And then you feel
shirt.
Your cracks. You feel the cracks of it. With and then you rub it real slow, and then it does what you want it to do.
Your cool shirt and your cool hair and your cool fanny pack and your cool shoes tucked into your, with your
they're not
pants
tucked, they're
tucked
short.
Into
they're
your
They're just
cool,
short. They're short.
They
they're
look
not
tucked.
Tucked in.
Y'all, stop, stop almost fighting. I can't take it.
Mommy,
I can't
Daddy's
take it.
My
I can't take it.
Black on black wrestle violence will not stand.
We can't have this.
They are right about Chicago.
All right.
Oh, fuck.
Jesus. Danielle. This has got to be just for you. I'm just so excited to read this. Let's descend into the temple for some Lucha Underground.
You don't even sound excited.
I'm ready for this.
Okay, great.
I'm ready.
One of the biggest things was the debut of Jake Strong, a guy I definitely know, because he was WWE's Jack Swagger. We're like, you know what? Now that he's gone from WWE, the place where he makes the most sense on the planet is the temple.
Same, but his name is like the Savage.
He's Jake Strong.
The Savage Jake Strong.
The Savage
what
Jake
a savage
Strong.
About you, my dude? You still look like you just came out of tryouts for the USA Olympic team. What are you talking about? How are you Savage?
Is he wearing
he's wearing a onesie. Although he looks exactly the same.
Is he wearing the backwards cap still? Did he give that up?
I don't remember.
Because that was say we the people.
No. That was hella savage.
Yeah, I just think that
so
he.
Savage,
although I will be, to be fair, I wonder if part of the joke is that he just looks like every wrestling white dude. And so this company that is like run by POCs, mostly employees POCs, is like,
awesome.
Oh, here's something funny. We're going to call this dude the Savage, even though he just looks like every other wrestler anywhere. He literally looks like he could go and apply to be in any gym for any like amateur wrestling any ever.
He looks
so
like the,
I wonder if that's what they're doing.
He looks like the villain in a Ski Patrol movie.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like one of the grown-up Cobra
Kai. What is it, Zabka?
Yeah.
He's got some Zabka vibes.
He's
is
got,
that?
Yeah, he's got the Zabka gene. Let's continue with the Cueto family drama. The main event of the night was Pentagon Dark defeating Matanza to retain the Lucha Underground Championship. Sadly, for those of you wondering, Jake Strong, not involved. Did you enjoy the match?
Yeah, it's really fun.
Sure, it was good.
It's really, really fun.
They're all
fun.
Good wrestlers, right?
Yeah, the second episode did way better. Like, the first episode just dropped us into the middle of, like, this, like, hey, we're going straight into Aztec Warfare. Mm-hmm. You're not going to know some of these people. You're not going to know what's going on. All of a sudden, Dario Cuarto's dad shows up.
Really?
Who I'm pretty sure is just... Well, because it's played by the same actor as Dario Cuarto in a wig.
Oh, no.
It's amazing!
It's so good.
And what's funny about him is that he actually, like, whereas Dario Cuarto was always like, you know, here's a magic thing. I don't care. It's my temple. I'm in charge. Whatever. Antonio Cuarto is like, okay, this is fucking weird, but it's still my temple, so get your teleporting ass out of my office.
Oh, he just took it.
Yeah, well, so...
From his child?
The end of last season, Dario Cuarto was assassinated.
Oh, my God! This is like Dallas.
Yes! Do you get it now?
No.
Dario Cuarto was assassinated.
Oh, my God.
And then we see this season, like, his pops, and, like, he's talked about his mom and the impact his mom had on him. Like, she's a reason why he likes violence.
Oh, I smell a Sister Abigail situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, no, his mom was straight up murdered by his brother.
Uh-oh. Jesus Christ.
Who is, yeah.
Darius Cueto.
No, Matanza, the monster.
Oh, Matanza, a.k.a.
Who,
Darius.
Like, beat her head in with a statue or whatever.
Oh.
And so, because she was, like, attacking, it's a whole thing. And they haven't talked about his dad very much. But, like, there's no way that he is not, I call bullshit, there's no way that he's not faking his own death because he's got, like, people looking for him.
Plus, it's magic.
Plus, it's so exciting.
Teleporting.
It's so good. So one thing I will say, there is a wrestler called Exolicious who is, like, they don't tell us a lot about him or them, super queer, not sure if it's gender queer, not sure what other kind of queer it is. It is a wrestler who has been in other places. Watching people fall in love with Exo-licious is one of the most life-affirming, amazing things I have ever seen about wrestling. So please, I hope you guys watched it last night. If not, go watch it now. Okay, bye.
Can you say where the other places is?
I know he's an indie wrestler, and I can't remember his other name right now. But he's also...
Jack Swagger.
But he's also, like, super black and queer and amazing on indie circuits, too. And I cannot remember his name right now, and I am so sorry.
Let's go to some sad news.
No.
Yeah, it's going to get sad. Oh. Sami Zayn is out for almost a year with two torn rotator cuffs.
That's too long.
And Shinsuke Nakamura is out for a bit after being bitten
by
a police dog.
He got bit by a dog.
I don't understand.
Did he try to hit the dog in the crotch with his fist?
That's funny. Wait a minute. Yeah, I thought about it. That's still funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish that like... or he tried to give the dog a Kinshasa.
Oh, my God.
The dog bit his leg.
No, look, I'm going to go ahead and say that dog saw someone a little darker than they were used to.
Yeah, this is a racist dog, for sure.
It's
a racist dog.
Because if it was in Anaheim, that's Orange County.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Shouldn't police dogs attack on command?
Yeah.
What is going on
with
the dog police force in Orange County?
Yeah. Figure it out. Also, I found the name. It's Sunny Kiss is the name
of the dog.
No, of the name of Exo-licious. Sorry, I felt like I do feel like that was really important. So
Sunny Kiss. All right.
But yeah, no, it's some rando dog. We haven't heard word of it yet. But like, look, all that Shinsuke does is say hi to people and surf. He don't do nothing.
That's all
else.
He wants. He's just a surfer.
He just wants to surf and
the
hang out with his bros.
The dog went into business for himself.
Yeah.
The dog is a jobber.
Yeah.
The dog will never work in a promotion in North America. Again.
Bad dog. Hey, if you're listening, bad dog.
Hey, you are a bad dog, and I love all dogs, but right now, sir, I'm not sure. Also, you work for the man, you're a cop dog, you have insurance. I don't know.
That's what I say to you, dog.
Mm-hmm.
From SmackDown, Sanity, main roster debut, they were in the six-man tag action against the Usos and Jeff Hardy after a fun match between Eric Young and Hardy for the U.S. title ended in a no contest. Because that is the formula du jour now on both shows, is one-on-one match. Gets busted up. 6 to 8 to 14 match. Like, Teddy Long must be dressed up as the Phantom of the Opera up in the rafters of both shows right now going,
player.
We gonna have a 28-man tag match, player.
Oh, he's doing his little
the
dance.
Keeps going.
But still, even though they took the loss, they look really good. What are your hopes for Sanity on the main roster?
I really cannot wait to see them on just a, like, two-team match where we can really see what they can do. I like that match. I thought it was fun. But I want to watch them in a match where you can really, really, really get to see them shine.
I like Eric Young a lot. I forgot how much I loved Eric Young. I've loved Eric Young since he was a Team Canada goofball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so exciting to see him. He's found so much from where he started to where he is right now. And it's so natural and he's so believable. He looks like a fucking real maniac.
Yeah, he's a great storyteller, too, in the ring. And he and Hardy had good chemistry.
Yep, I agree.
They're starting to work in the Nero stuff, by the way.
I know.
But Jeff Nero Hardy.
Because right now,
Yeah, no, I deleted
it.
Yeah.
Oh, is it weird that Woken Matt Hardy's not working in WWE?
Wait a minute.
Who of us could have had an idea that was going to happen?
Wait a minute.
A lot of people say I don't like to say I told you so. Guess what? I love it right now.
Wait a minute.
But I'm sad.
I have a question.
I don't want to be right.
I have a question.
But I am. Yes.
Because Danielle's about to die all over you. But just happened, folks. Yeah. Has there been no point where you've been into Woken Matt in this WWE run?
I was into Broken Matt more than Woken Matt because it just felt like they were doing the same thing again, which is sort of what they've done. They've done nothing that's like, if they went into new territory, I would be vastly more interested. They didn't even really change Bray Wyatt at all.
True.
They just made him aligned with Matt Hardy.
Yeah, to me,
there's no appreciable difference for
them.
And that's a shame.
Their tag team feels like if you emptied half a pint of ice cream and filled the half with like spinach and then tried to present this as a thing you eat, and it doesn't go together. And even though they keep trying, they're not, it like the thing has to make a decision whether it's serious scary guy or goofy subverting the genre guy.
Yeah, it fits in a promotion like Impact where there was almost literally nothing else going on that had anybody's attention, as opposed to a place where they're trying to book several main event angles all the time, and you can't have Broken Matt Hardy was the focus of Impact because it was the only thing that most people who weren't even familiar with the brand knew right. of it. This is like he's fighting for share of voice with everything. I'm glad he has the freedom, but it just doesn't. It doesn't work as a mid or lower card act because it should be the takeover.
It doesn't because it's trying to subvert the entire genre.
Yo, it doesn't work as a mid or lower
structure.
Card. I actually really agree with you on that. As much fun as it is to watch Bo Wyatt impersonate his brother,
yeah,
they do have to pick what they're going to be. Are you going to be? It's hard because of both of them. You know, the Eater of Worlds, the dude that deletes. They both like fucking kicked their face. Like they kicked their way into the company with like, hey, we're here, and now it's like.
I'll tell you one thing about even them having that name. Like Matt hasn't deleted anything.
Yep.
And Bray hasn't eaten anything.
True.
So it's like emphasizing the worst parts, like the parts that they can't deliver on, is the name of the team.
They should have fed Cass to them before they had him leave.
I'd like that.
But I still have hope. I do think that what Axel and Bo are doing is funny.
I like what Axel and Bo are doing.
I just, you know, I still have hope. We're not at WrestleMania yet. Anything can happen.
Oh, man. That's right. You know what? Who knows what the next 9 months will bring? All right.
I can
have a baby.
Let's move. Yeah, that's true.
Nah.
Let's move on.
I won't, though.
Raw, Seth Rollins had his rematch for the Intercontinental title against Dolph Ziggler, but lost because of interference. Boy, remember how irrelevant Dolph Ziggler was?
Yo, that was a really good match.
And then all of a sudden he came back and they gave him like a proper heater.
Mm-hmm.
And now
he's looking good out
there. You can see how great he was again. Like the star was inside him all along.
Yeah, it was really good.
Be best.
I love this match.
It's a great match.
Yeah, he's learning to be best.
And there seems to be a certain new attention being given to details in the booking that I'm into. Like, they knew that for us to feel things about Drew McIntyre interfering in this match, they'd have to be having an awesome 30-minute match first and not just like an 8-minute match that suddenly was interfered on. And it's stuff like that that's really... causing me to have to really pay attention again, even though I'd given up kind of on paying attention. Now I'm paying attention again.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love it. So for 2 weeks in a row, we've gotten Bayley and Sasha Banks coming to blows, with Bayley actually laying out Sasha this week.
Only 2 weeks?
Yeah. Since 2004, these two have been in an on-again, off-again, will-they-won't-they feud.
Bayley and Sasha, then, now, forever.
Are they the Ross and Rachel of wrestling?
WWE, 24 months.
So when we all go, hey, we're not as invested as we used to be, they can go, we were on a break!
I did like the particular way the character turn, I don't know if it's full-blown heel turn,
right.
but character turn was executed.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think the timing, it reminded me of Roderick Strong's heel turn to join the Undisputed Era, how it just was completely out of nowhere timing-wise. Like,
right.
Like, usually when they do that sort of turn, there's a lot of tension and build, and will he hit him? But, like, right after the bell ring, Bayley was whooping Sasha's ass. I thought that was exciting.
No, especially because I think everyone was like, well, Sasha's eventually going to start just like wailing on Bayley. And for Bayley to be like, nah, sis.
Yeah, there's history there.
Yeah.
She's too smart for it.
What would a heel Bayley look like?
I'm excited.
She would, she can take that ponytail out. That's what the fuck the heel
down
Bayley
hair?
I think she goes even more.
Oh.
More kawaii.
Oh, you think she puts the ponytail like right at the top?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the Chris Jericho.
And still.
Ponytail at the top.
And
that'd be amazing.
Still gets super saccharine with the crowd and still tries to get hugs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Except they're not having it.
Like, there ain't no stopping me now.
Yeah. Ooh.
Like, it'd be like a female Sami Zayn.
Oh, all the floaty dudes just look like Bayley.
Oh, they're all.
What if they're like a chant. They're like statues to her.
What if all the floaty dudes had their arms crossed?
That's possible.
And the V above their eyes, so you can tell they're angry.
And they're just swaying back and forth, judging people.
Slow it down and chop it and screw it. There ain't no stopping me now. Oh. It's time to put on the show.
I love it.
Yes.
Minor chords, man. They do it.
Minor chords.
But of course, we can't get the match that we all want. Instead, we get therapy.
Oh, yeah, that was
therapy,
weird.
Therapy. Do we think, I mean, I think it's funny that this happens the same time the Daniel Bryan, okay, well, we're going to get
there. I just think it's funny
that both of these things happen during the same 2 days.
Therapy. All right, so from broken friendships to renewed friendships, as you pointed out, Daniel Bryan was getting beat down by the Bludgeon Brothers on SmackDown. And then who comes in to make the save but this guy?
Oh, my God. It's Kane! He's back!
Now I have the time of my life. And I never felt this way before.
I swear it's the truth. Can I owe it all to you now?
It was so boom, boom. And they start hugging. And he goes down to.
I've been waiting for so long.
Now I finally found someone to stand by me.
And there's no tenderness like before in your big red hips.
Julian, you were there. Were you so excited that you just popped out a set of push-ups on the spot? Just worked out those biceps and those chesticles?
Work your emotions.
I never really knew what it was like to be a part of such a collective feeling of joy like it was in that arena when because like I thought I was done caring about Kane, but surprise, surprise, they really got me to care about Kane again. And God, it was really cool. It was a great yes chant. Ontario, you played your role well. Thank you so much.
Here's what I need next time that you go to a live event. I want a GoPro on your face. Like a Steadicam, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I want to see the reaction.
I want to see the joy.
I want to see the joy that the three of us can't have anymore.
That's right.
This is the only thing that I want. That I wish that Google Glass was still around for.
Oh, my God.
Also, just to remind you guys, I also had that joy back when Daniel Bryan was in Key Arena, and it was during the Slammies. And I don't know if I've mentioned that I was there before.
No, oh, never did. Yeah.
Collectively for him, but I feel like I've never said it before to anyone, but I was in that audience, and it was just like...
Thank you for sharing, finally.
Joy. Yeah. Thank you.
It's been a long time that you've held that close to the vest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I've never mentioned it before.
There you go. If you have any thoughts on what we've discussed so far, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. Up next, our own Danielle Radford is going to talk to Sydell Noel and Britt Baron about the season premiere of Glow. That's coming up on Tights and Fights.
Well, Adam, we're still putting out the Greatest Discovery podcast while we wait for season 2.
What are we doing with these episodes?
We've talked to a whole bunch of interesting people, like the Wall Street Journal's Ben Fritz and MaximumFun.org's own Danielle Radford. We're kind of using this time to find ways to entertain ourselves and you while we wait for the next season.
So catch yourself up with Star Trek Discovery and join us Tuesday on the Greatest Discovery. It's on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Danielle Radford. All month long, we have been so lucky to be hanging out with tons of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. Woo. As we prepare for season 2 of GLOW to kick off on June 29th on Netflix. And now we've got two more in the studio. Britt Baron plays Justine Biagi, who wrestles as Scab. Hi, Britt.
Hi.
And Sadell Noel plays Cherry Bang, who wrestles under the name Junk Chain. Good to have you here, Sadell.
Hey, girl, hi.
Hey, girl, hi. Love your shirt. We've had a lot of women from the show on, because hashtag blessed. And every woman, I mean, every woman we've had on from GLOW has entered our studio talking about their injuries. So are either of you working with injuries right now, and how did they happen?
Right now? No, I'm good. I'm
you
good
were,
now.
You definitely had injuries, though.
But I, during?
Yeah. Oh, please, 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 please.
Yeah. I mean, it was my back and my neck. My neck and my back.
My neck and my back.
Yeah,
my neck. That song.
Yeah, my back. We'll tell you about that later.
But yeah, like, my neck not so bad, but my back was really bad. I had to see a chiropractor. It was really bad. And yeah. I don't know how it came about, because I remember when we were wrestling, when we were training, like, I was good, and then I felt a little tweak, and then by the time the end of it, I was like, something's wrong. Like, I couldn't move, and I had to take the next day off.
Sadell's also a huge workout fanatic, as you can see, but people can't see that because they're listening. And I remember...
Go to that Insta. So, y'all go see it.
Seriously, I'm like, Sadell, maybe you can, like, train me in the off-season as my personal trainer or something? Because she's insane with all of her workouts. And, like, didn't you get... You hurt your knees, I thought, or something.
Yeah, I've done that when I was...
On top of our training.
Yeah, and then I remember Chava was like, you sure you didn't hurt your back when you were lifting weights? Because I, when we train, I work out before we train.
Okay, so the rest of us have no excuse. Got it!
Yes, seriously.
Yeah, I work out like 6 days a week, and even on my seventh day, it's a rest day, but I go hiking, and I take my friends, and it's not even like... just a casual hike. I'm like, all right, we're going to run this one to this bush over there, and then we're going to do squats, then we're going to get that bench, and we're going to do sit-ups. Oh, you see that? We can do pull-ups on that. And they're like, what the hell? We're just supposed to be walking and looking at the sights.
I just wanted to gossip.
Exactly.
You, like, are Cherry, I feel like.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
I
it's like, she's so athletic. Like,
yeah.
I remember when I first met you, I was like, oh my God, I am not going to last training. I'm not going to make it because I'm here with women that are very athletic and strong.
Okay,
and...
was there a point at which after you auditioned that there was you could have washed out?
Well,
like, this sounds like the Marines.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, you could. I feel like in any show, you hear all these stories. People will shoot a pilot, get recast. Like,
oh, that's
constantly.
True. I hear people,
have been recast at table reads. Right. Every actor's like nightmare.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had 4 weeks of training. So easily, I was the last one to be cast. I missed the first day of training because my contracts hadn't gone through. And I thought, holy crap, we're going to be like running through tires. We're going to be like, you know, doing thousands of push-ups. I'm going to be so
ripped.
Meanwhile,
I was like, oh my gosh, I was thinking all that stuff. And I was like, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I mean, I was like excited. I thought
give
I was
me more
to
tires.
Like, yeah, like Wonder Woman by the end. But no, it was a different type of training. A more like fun, I think, less sweaty type, I would say.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, we don't really do squats. It's much more about actually learning.
Yeah,
the
learning
moves.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so speaking of, you know, learning the moves, how much of a better wrestler do you think you are from season one until now?
Oh, my God.
So much better, right? I just feel... No?
I feel like we started... Well, most of us besides Kia Stevens...
I mean,
Kia's started
like
with,
best.
Like, no... Yeah, but no knowledge whatsoever.
No,
so
I mean,
yeah.
We haven't even been in a wrestling ring. Like, when I saw the ring, I was like, oh, my God.
I didn't
God.
Even know how to walk in it. I remember Chavo being like, okay, so this is how you get in the ring? Because... I'm like, do I climb over this thing? Do I, like, crawl on my stomach?
And I was like, I remember telling Chavo, I was like, well, I saw people jumping in the ring. And he's like, slow down, Sid. We're not there yet. And I was like, but I'm totally going to do that. I want to do that so bad.
Yeah.
That's a goal of mine.
But we didn't even, I remember learning how to do back bumps was like a really, it hurts the first 50 times you try it.
You're
That's
throwing
why I
yourself
feel like I
at the ground, right?
Yeah.
And I feel it's like, it's a trust issue. Like, literally, I mean, that
trusting
was like
yourself.
Yeah, that was the hardest part for me, like, to literally, like, lay back and, like, trust my own self not to make myself paralyzed from falling on the ground.
It's so counterintuitive, but I feel like we came back in season two, and it had been a year, basically, since we had trained for season one. I thought, oh my God, we're going to be starting again all over. But really, it's like riding a bike. Yeah, I was shocked at how...
I was going to say muscle memory, kinetic energy.
We Chavo was like, oh crap. Yeah. We went through everything we planned for the whole week in one day. So I think we were way better across the board.
And also, I will say, Kia has said multiple times that she has done nothing but compliment how good y'all are.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, she has said nothing but amazing things about
how good y'all are. We always look up to Kia because we always, like, we do something and we'll be like, is that okay, Kia? Is that good? And I always go to Kia and I'm like, did I do a good girl? Like tell me. Like, for real. Like,
you know? And also, Kia, when you wrestle with her, I think the most amazing thing is that, especially as her, like, wrestling character outside of GLOW, the awesome Kong, she's like this crazy, scary heel. And when you wrestle with her, it's she like, looks scary, but it feels like she's the softest wrestler
like
out of any of us.
It's like you're wrestling a teddy bear. Like, she, like a warm cloud. Because she just knows, like, she knows how to grip you. She knows how to handle you. She knows
she
what points
you.
To go fast. And it feels like you're not doing anything. And I remember when she like, flipped me. She was like, you ready? And we did 1, 2, 3. And I was like, I have it on tape. I was like, oh, my God, that was so quick. It was awesome. Do it again.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just like, and Chavo was like, just shaking his head. Like, what's wrong?
Because I feel like when we learned, like, when we started putting in, you know, emotions and reacting at the pain, I have a tendency, I think, to get too invested. It's like, slow down. You're not actually ripping this girl's hair out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I have to, like, hold myself back. That's something I'm always trying to, like, my partner's number one. My partner's number one. Yeah. Don't sell it too much. And wrestling with Kia is, like, the perfect lesson. You're like, look at how the professionals, they're so, it looks intense, but it's so soft and sweet. And
you all had the time of your life, and you never felt that way before. and then a hip toss. So all of you, everyone we've talked to, and we have been fortunate to talk to so many of you women, have talked about what good friends you are off screen.
Yeah.
And the friendships that you have made. And what was it like to come back for season two and get to, like, hang out and be buds again?
It was literally like just reconnecting with your girlfriends. Like, it's this set that we have, it's very fortunate. It's really like a sisterhood that we have. And to have 15 girls that you get along with and there's not any cattiness around us, like, it's very fortunate. And I've never experienced anything like this in my life.
I feel like it's going back to camp. Like, the first season, all of our trailers were in this one little row that we called GLOW Alley. And we were GLOW Alley. Somebody made a big sign.
A big sign.
I don't know if it was Marla.
I think it was Kimmy and Rebecca.
Okay, maybe. There was a big GLOW Alley
sign. That feels right.
Yeah.
Everyone's trailer doors are open. We're all like, I was in a sorority, as embarrassing as that is, but
it
feels kind of like that.
People being friends.
It's like the dorm room. It feels like we're all running in and out of each other's rooms and screaming and laughing. And, like, it's obviously it's work and we're all so happy to be there. But I think what does make the show special is off screen, genuinely, we love being there and we love each other and we're there through the thick and thin. And I think wrestling is part of that because it's so vulnerable. It's so embarrassing and frustrating, especially when we didn't really know each other, to like do a back bump and suck at it and be frustrated and try not to like show it. And I think for us all to go through that together and then succeed at moves that we each found challenging, it was like, it's like a really special, special bond.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about the show, and one of the things I love about a lot of the shows that are made by this company, but specifically this show, as someone who loves wrestling, wrestling is my heart. In GLOW, it does definitely feel like it's very much like, we're a bunch of chicks, we're fucking doing this. There are a lot of feminist ideals in the show. How do you feel that resonates with everything that is happening now?
I think one of the gifts of our show is that it is set in the 80s. So I think it gives our show this kind of wonderful lens that I think, like, right now, especially with the Me Too movement and our country being so divided across the board, I think that being able to watch a show that's set in the 80s makes, hopefully, viewers from all spectrums and all political parties maybe be able to watch it with less defense up and see, like, what we're trying to promote, which I think is, it's like a completely amazing message, I think, Glow, these strong female characters. And I think in season two, there's so much female friendship that you get to see. Being able to see women of all shapes and sizes from all different walks of life work together in this crazy way and deal with fame in season two and deal with competition amongst each other, you know, fighting for the spotlight, but be able ultimately to kind of come together and support one another is like exactly what we need during this Me Too movement, where it's like strong women standing up for one another and also like working through. I mean, we do. I don't know if this is too much. I don't think it's a spoiler. I think people have been talking about this, that there is kind of a Me Too movement within.
Yeah. This actually came about the right time.
Right.
And it's not like
like
the
a workplace
that we address was happened before or after. I remember even when Trump was elected and we were going through all this stuff, like we did all this stuff before it even happened.
Yeah.
It just came out after the fact.
And that, yeah, that's one of the things I love so much about Glow, was that they do these, you know, y'all do these big stereotypes with the idea that like, hey, it's the 80s. And yep. This is what we're doing. But then you can see them reverberate and how the effects of those stereotypes reverberate into now.
Into now, yes.
And the fact that some of them are still used now. Which are things I thought were interesting.
But you're like, yeah, that was in the 80s. Why does this still resonate?
Yeah, like things like, you know.
So familiar.
Right, yeah. Like things like all of the stereotypes that like black women have to represent, which is like wrestling is getting very better at that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as much as I love wrestling, and I don't need y'all to comment on this, but I will just say it, wrestling loves a light-skinned woman. Okay.
I think entertainment business loves a light-skinned woman just in general.
We're getting there. Yeah. We're getting there. Naomi is amazing. Mm-hmm. Naomi is real good.
Yeah.
I always feel the glow. So, going to something really fun and very, very silly and stupid. What is more fun for you? Getting dressed up or getting in your ring gear?
Oh, gosh.
Ring gear for me.
Yeah. Fancy parties
fancy
are very
party.
Stressful for me,
no,
personally.
I don't like getting dressed up.
I'm like, you have to tape your boobs in. I'm sweating.
And it involves duct tape. It's not regular boob tape. It's literally like there's tutorials
pins.
About like how, hey, you take a duct tape and you do like this. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
I remember my first SAG Awards. I was like, I loved the dress and I couldn't breathe and I had to go on a juice cleanse for like 3 days and then I was able to breathe in my dress.
Wait, you did?
I did because I lift more when I do glow. I was like, when I do glow, like we've been doing it for 6, 7 years.
Yeah. I feel like you're always doing a juice cleanse, like for the promo.
Oh, I do.
Self-discipline.
Yeah.
Something I've been trying to work on myself.
Not so much, because I still love me a Cinnabon.
That's true. I always text Sadelle every time I see a Cinnabon, because she loves it.
I love it so much.
I see a Cinnabon in this airport. Too bad it's closed.
I ate a Cinnabon yesterday.
But I think the events overall, like, are very surreal, because I'm still in the stage of, like, I can't believe I'm here. But
yeah,
they're
Awards,
not... Oh, my God.
But I was just like...
You're like, that's not the bread and butter. That's not like the meat of why, you know, that's just like a sprinkling on top of like getting to do this work, which is putting on a costume and getting to play a character and get into a ring with like cameras and lights and a director. That to me is like, holy shit, my dream
and
is coming
that,
true.
Okay,
like,
have an audience.
Crazy.
Our background people are seeing this for like the first time and they're like really cheering. They're like, oh my gosh, you just
they're
did
amazed.
That.
And the crew, especially like
really
I mean, season one, no one had seen
what we'd been doing
in training. It was really just Chavo, who was training as Chavo Guerrero, and Shauna Duggins, who's our stunt coordinator. So none of the crew, I mean, even our showrunners, I feel like would just pop in. It really felt like a private thing where finally when we started shooting, it was like, and here's what we've prepared for you.
Hello. I hope you're listening.
Yo, look, look, you're doing a lot of work. Very excited for season two. Cannot wait. I know you can't tell us a lot.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about season 8? I know. Because I also don't want to spoil it. I love TV and I don't like being spoiled. Being
I
spoiled
say,
is
I know
garbage.
I can say for Cherry, you will get to experience Chambers and Gold. You will get to experience that because...
The show that Cherry
that Cherry booked at season 10.
I'm so excited.
So you'll see that in, I think, episode 3. So you'll get a taste of that. Cherry is very vulnerable this season. She gets to deal... She has a little emotional roller coaster. I don't know if I can say why.
No, that's okay.
But yeah, but
going
she's,
through some shit.
Well, you're struggling as an actress too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. So I mean, whereas season one was very like she was the mother figure, she was the badass, she was the coach, she trained the girls, and then to have that not be in the second season, it's a you'll see a different side. You will see the loving relationship between her and Keith, though.
Oh my God, I love that.
I love that.
It's like
too.
Dream couple. Yeah. He's like such a good husband character.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I always go up to Liz and Carly and I thank them for that because we don't really see enough black love for the African American community.
You ain't lying.
So I always commend them and I'm like, thank you so much. And I hope they keep that for seasons to come. And not have any.
I feel like you really get to see that season 2.
Yeah,
you know, especially like his support of you, and you're just like, oh my God, I need to find myself a man like that.
Yeah,
that's gonna like love me even in my like breakdowns.
find yourself a man that loves you the way Keith loves Cherry.
Yeah, let's get that trending.
Yeah, we will.
And I think like for Justine, you get to see her. She moves in with Sam. I'm allowed to say that I've seen that.
I think so, yeah.
It's in trailers. It's fine.
It's a really strain. It's two people that have, like, such their guard up and such big egos. And all she wants really is to him to love her. But, you know, they'll never admit that. So it's a really fun... I think
they're the same person.
I know. Dynamic is, like, I love the Sam Justine dynamic.
It's like, why is she the way she is? Oh, because
that's
she's
her
his
father.
Daughter. Oh.
So that's fun.
Yeah, before we wrap up, one thing with... What is your favorite movie that most people think is bad but that you love? For me, it's The Last Dragon. It's my favorite movie.
Without a Paddle, Dragon. Maybe?
Oh, okay.
Dax Shepard. I'm like, I love that movie. I used to think it was like the funniest movie of all time. I'm trying to think. I like have bad taste, I think, overall in movies.
No, that's
so
okay.
I would say Miracle, you know, the Disney hockey movie is probably one of my favorites.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, I'll say right now, there's nothing wrong with that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not a highbrow. I feel like a lot of people are like, Casablanca
no,
is my favorite.
Fuck that noise.
You know, I'm like,
look, Break It in Two.
Like Disney movies.
Oh, listen, that is my look.
That's what my favorite
Breaking
movies
two,
is
and
the
Breaking
Dragon.
And the first one. Did you know Van Damme was in that?
Yes, he's in the back. The first time that Kelly comes and she does his like, ballet and he's like doing
he's like this
with his little package waving.
I was like, Van Damme was background, yo. Yes.
There is no wrong answer.
And there's nothing wrong with background.
Right,
and there's nothing wrong with background.
Nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could go
there's so many movies that I love, but I don't know if they're bad. Like, Never Ending Story, that's not bad.
I love that movie.
You know.
Same.
A Chorus Line.
I love A Chorus Line
so much. But I don't know if it's necessarily bad. But
Kia that because she keeps trying to figure out an idea for karaoke. We got to go to a karaoke night sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
We're trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure
out karaoke.
Oh, hell yeah. Actually, I'm really an awful singer, so I don't know why.
I'm
I'll come
awful,
and support,
but I don't care.
You know?
That's fine.
But I'd do a mean Tina Turner, though.
Yo, see?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Or you can fly girl, Brit. Like, it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone needs a fly girl.
Yeah, or I'll, like, just...
Just hold your earlobe.
I'll just hold my earlobe. We were talking before this started that apparently singers do that.
Yeah,
so.
Like, I can't hear...
I'm just going to start doing that. Pretending like I'm a professional.
Oh my
Britt
God.
Baron, Sadell Noel, thank you both so much for taking the time. I'm so happy that y'all came on Tights and Fights. I cannot believe that you came here. I am so happy. I've had such a fun time talking to you. Where can people find you online, Britt?
I am at Britt Baron on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, BRITTBARON.
Perfect, Sadell. Where can people find you?
On Instagram, I'm Sadellio. That's SYDELLIO. Or you could put Sadell Noel. I think it still pops up. Twitter is Sadell_Noel. I'm on Facebook, too, as Sadell Noel.
Britt Baron and Sydell Noel are two of the stars of the Netflix series Glow. Season 2 premieres on June 29th, and we cannot wait.
Thank you so much.
Binge it. Binge it.
So fun.
Following the news is hard and it sucks.
How do you know which stories are important?
Which sources do you trust in this post-truth world of reactionary journalism?
I'm Brett Black.
And I'm Travis McElroy.
And we host a podcast called Trends Like These.
We cover trending news stories.
We debunk misleading clickbait headlines.
And we always try to throw in a little bit of good news.
In our quest for truth.
So join us every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Dice and Bites Podcast. Dice and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined in the booth by
Danielle Radford.
And we have between the two of us, this is going to be like a 20 count. Every week we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the 3 count. All right, Danielle, you're up first.
Okay, so I've got two things to put over this week. They're both really quick. They're both social media things. First of all, Batista posted this amazing photo of him, his wife, Sarah Jade, and their 3 dogs doing a family photo on the steps, and they are all wearing red and white striped shirts, including the dogs.
Let me see.
Yeah, is that the best thing you've ever seen in your life? It's the best thing you've ever seen in your life.
It looks like that's what happened to the, remember the Snoop Dogg video when they all turned into dogs? Like, that's what happened. They just stayed dogs and then took Christmas card photos.
No, and then they got adopted by a very sweet family of an actor, wrestler, and his pole dance teaching wife. And the second, which is also a family thing, I want to put over how adorable Mustafa Ali has been on Twitter. I think he was doing like a Ask Me Anything or Ask Me Something, and someone put food you miss the most when traveling, and he wrote wifey. So y'all, Mustafa Ali eats pussy, and we have official confirmation that Mustafa Ali eats that box. And I feel like that's got to count for at least like 5 more 3 counts for me. Eat that box. That's what the lamps are for. Like that's what all the LEDs are for. Like on his, it's so that he can see the box in the dark. Just fucking waving it in. Just waving it in.
I don't want to put anything over, but I'm going to.
You can also put over whatever wrestlers you know of that eat the fucking poon. Besides, obviously, The Rock. We all know The Rock eats snatch. But anybody else that you know of that eats the snatch, you can just go ahead and put that over now. I don't care.
I'm going to put over Eric Bischoff's podcast. 83 weeks with, I can't remember his name.
Conrad.
Conrad. I don't know. That guy doesn't follow me on Twitter. I don't know. We're supposed to remember each other. Another overweight, bearded white guy who hosts a wrestling podcast.
Oh, the other one.
The other one. It's just the two of us.
It's just the two of you.
Just the two of us.
You
making castles in the sky. Just the two of us.
Conrad and you.
Anyway, they covered Chris Jericho's time in WCW. It is a 3-hour-plus podcast. I recommend all of it. It is a good reminder of just how long Chris Jericho has been a goat in this industry. And the things that he's done, great examples of... this is a good piece of advice for everybody out there, no matter what you do, that when you're given even the smallest opportunity to use it to the fullest and to not sacrifice who you are in the process, because that is exactly what he did, and it got him where he is now.
And it's very hard, and it's a very thin line, and that's why the best are the ones who are able to write it.
Yeah. Do we have a clip?
I brought him in to work with Chris and Dean and Eddie in the Cruiserweight division. I wanted to work him into that role. I wasn't going to, like, launch him right into the middle of it. Not a lot of, you know, I know Chris is not going to want to hear that. And, yes, he worked in ECW, and, you know, maybe 300,000 people watched that on TSN or whatever the cable station was that nobody watched, or on their syndicated show that nobody could find. He worked there. But our audience, our 4 or 5 million people, didn't know who he was. So,
That is it for Tights and Fights this week. We are a podcast from the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts were Mike Eagle and Danielle Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin. Anything you want to put out there?
Sure. San Diego Comic-Con is coming up. I will be there.
Me too.
Sometimes I'll be out going around and I'll look like me, and sometimes I am definitely going to Superman it and take off my glasses and wig, and y'all won't know who the fuck I am. It just depends on how my anxiety is doing that day. but yeah, no, so I'll be out there. That'll be super fun. You can also catch me on Raise Up on Gamma Ray. I think it's like twitch.tv/gammaray_TV. And you can catch me there every Thursday morning, hosting a show. And of course, Thursday's like my live show day. I'm also on SJU for Screen Junkies on Thursday. I'm also on Movie Fights for Thursdays. Yeah, stuff is fun. How about you?
You can listen to me on another Maximum Fun podcast, which is We Got This with Mark and Hal. It drops every Wednesday at midnight Eastern time. So early, early morning, by the time you wake up Wednesday morning, East Coast, you have a new episode waiting in your inbox, your podcasting inbox, whatever that may be for you. Also, we have just launched another podcast on the Night Vale Presents Network that I'm a co-host of. It's called Good Morning Night Vale, and we are going back and re-listening to every episode of Night Vale and breaking it down, giving insider information, interviewing people. That is me, Meg Bashwinner, who is the voice of all the Proverbs, and Deb, and the MC of the live shows, and Symphony Sanders, who plays Tamika Flynn.
Going to podcast. If y'all ain't listening to Bubble is super, super fun.
Yeah.
This week's Bubble was written by Janine Brito, who is, if you ain't into it, get into it. I contributed doing some punch-up to every episode this season, so please listen. It is, I think The Onion called it, like, Buffy meets Portlandia meets something. But it's a great show, and I'm very proud to have been a part of it. And literally, this is the kind of show where it's like, if I wasn't doing it, this would be a show that was meant for me. So please enjoy.
All right. Our producer thanks every fan of Korean soccer within the sound of my voice for helping get Mexico to the tournament.
And like, look, I know a lot of you are mad that the USA didn't get into it, but like, we're not
good at it.
We're not. We get the runoffs. We are the AAA of soccer. We are. You know how people talk about Canadian football? We are the Canadian football of soccer, and I think we just all have to be okay with it.
Yeah.
You guys are talking to an audience that does not exist, because there is no way anyone was that mad about this.
Somebody out there.
No, back home in Seattle, we love soccer.
Because of the Sounders, boy. Right?
Because of the Sounders. Oh, we love a soccer. So
you love a soccer.
We love that one.
That one.
Because it's the one where we get to wear scarves and pretend to be British.
Sure. Look, we're at Hogwarts, but kicking.
I love my town, but God, we're the worst.
Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. We're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and on Instagram as well. If you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Share us with all your friends. Thank you so much, especially to the Maximum Fun members who have a portion of their monthly contribution kicked towards our show to keep the lights on when we're in here. Because if it was dark, we wouldn't be able to see one another, and what kind of show would that be? We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.